Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
And there's a bunch of reasons. I mean, some reasons are pretty obvious to see why God didn't want this kind of physical relationship without that commitment being present. One of the most obvious ones probably is when illegitimate children happen, unplanned pregnancies. How many lives have been affected? How many people have had the course of their life changed with an unplanned pregnancy? You know, it affects things. God intended for children to be brought forth in a home where there was already that commitment and that establishment, so that then there's a foundation to help raise those children. Because as any, you know, and people are single parents for all kinds of reasons and sometimes through no fault of their own. But anybody who's a single parent will tell you that's hard. You know, anybody who's a parent with a husband, mother, and father will tell you that's hard. Raising children is not an easy job, but God meant that to be shared, and he meant ideally, and of course we don't live in an ideal world, it's a fallen world, all kind of things happen for all kind of reasons, but his ideal was that those children would be brought into the world in a unified home where he was the center of, where they were honoring him, honoring his word, and he was the center of. That provides the foundation for then being able to raise children who can be, you know, the next generation for him. So that's one important reason. There's another one, of course, that we know about, sexually transmitted diseases. People learn about that in schools. Even the world recognizes these issues as being potential issues. You know, even in schools, they educate about these things because it's important. There are things that happen. There are consequences for not doing things the way God designed. They don't work well. There are problems. And people can say, well, there's ways to avoid pregnancy. There's ways to avoid disease. Yeah. But guess what? First of all, they're not 100% effective. I don't care what you do. The only 100% effective way to avoid disease is abstinence before marriage, monogamous marriage thereafter. That's the pattern God designed. That works 100% effectively. Other methods, you're playing with fire. You're taking risks because it's not what God made. It's not what he designed. And he wants us to, you know, he wants us to experience the fullness of what he has for us, not to settle for less, not to let these other things creep in that take stuff away from us. When you're intimate with someone, there's a vulnerability there, right? I mean, that's the point where you're at your most vulnerable. Literally, there's nothing to hide. There's not just clothes, it's everything. You're your most vulnerable self when you're with somebody in an intimate setting. Well, when that's with someone who you trust, who you've built a relationship with, who you have a connection to, you've got this commitment that now we're one unit. I don't have to worry about that person going out and stabbing me in the back later or somehow, you know, turning things around against me later. We're one. There's an openness there. There's just like the same thing about not having to worry about sexually transmitted diseases. There's an openness. There's a freedom there that we don't have to, you know, be in this intimate moment and yet somehow still be guarded because I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that, I'm scared of this, I'm scared of getting caught. All these things that we have to have when it's not done the way God meant for it to be done. And that's one of the things that happens. And in these, you know, in these vulnerable scenarios, you give those pieces of yourself away, pieces that were meant to be only for, you know, a lifelong partner. And then, because that commitment wasn't there, then later we go our separate ways. Happens all the time in this world, right? I mean, half the dating culture now, that's all it's for. People aren't even looking for relationships. That's all they're looking for. But you give that part of yourself away, and then that's something you can't get back again in the same way, you know? And then what happens when God does bring someone down the line? Maybe you make that commitment too. Well, now there's a barrier there, potentially. Now, that's not to say that God can't redeem. In fact, we'll talk about that a little more later. This is not to condemn, because Christ doesn't ever share his truth to condemn. There's no point in that, because the world's condemned already. His point is to rescue, to deliver, to bring out of that, and to set free. So God can deliver, but why would we set ourselves up for failure when we can set ourselves up for success? Why add barriers instead of remove them? You know, and if there's something where you've got a history with someone else that wasn't in the bonds of marriage, God's bringing you to that later. I think people that have been in that situation could attest there's a barrier to overcome there. Not that God can't overcome it. He can. But there's a battle there that you wouldn't have had to have if things had gone, you know, the way that God designed them to go. So you see, there's like some just basic practical reasons that, that God gives us these truths. It's not just some arbitrary decision he made. So I hope that's clear, and I hope God can help us to see that he is, again, he's not trying to keep something good from us. He's trying to show us the path to the best we could ever have. His best for us is the best we could have. That's what he wants to lead us into, not keep good stuff from us. So, you know, but let's look at one other thing. When we talk about God's design, let's go over to Ephesians 5. There's another scripture I want to look at here. It's in Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Of course, he's talking about marriage itself, and I'm not want to focus so much on the specifics or mechanics of marriage itself, but something that he says here is important. In verse 25, he says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies." You see, going right back to that picture in Genesis, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Loving my wife is like loving myself because we're one now. That's the commitment that comes in marriage that sanctifies the physical part of the relationship. So he says, he who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. And then he quotes back from Genesis where we read, "For this reason, a man will leave his mother and father and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." And then he says this, "This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church." See, he's drawing a parallel between the oneness in body that a husband and wife have in marriage and the relationship between Christ and his church. There's a picture there of the intimacy, the connection, the connectedness of Christ with his people. And there's a picture in that is reflected in the marriage relationship. They come together and they become one. That's what Christ wants to be for us. He wants to be intimately connected to our lives, for us to know him, and he wants to fellowship with us in that way. And so this is part of what God intended in marriage, was this was to be a picture or a symbol of God's connectedness and relationship with us. So now what happens when we take that and we use it in a different context? We're corrupting that image of what he meant that to be. When it's with some person I don't even know because I want to feel good, there's a corruption of the purpose of which God created that. It's not serving its purpose. It's not reflecting. In the same way that a lot of quote-unquote marriages that take place in the world today don't reflect the intent of what God intended in a marriage. We see all kind of things that people call marriage in all kind of situations, and that doesn't reflect what God intended. And yet, you know, that happens. So I just want to look over at... I was just going to say this, I guess. You know, we see what God intended, but we know we don't live in that world, right? That's not how things work. What happened was, after sin came in, of course, you know what happened after the sin came in. The first thing they felt was shame, right? Where there had been none before. Because now what God had intended, it's not being used that way, and there's a shame that comes with that, and they wanted to cover. They wanted to hide from that. And, you know, that's the world we live in today. People have said, "I don't care what God intended, you know, I don't care what he meant. I want what I want. I'm going to do what I want because I want to take all of these gifts that God gave and use them for me the way I think they ought to be used." That's the world that we live in. And that's why God's word is full of warnings about not adopting those standards and what happens in those cases. So let's look at another one. Let's go over to, or actually not another scripture, but go up in the, or back. If you're on a phone, it's up. If you're in the Bible, it's back. It's Ephesians 3, back up in verse 3 of Ephesians 5 there. He's touching on something related here. He's speaking about, you know, God's people. He says, "But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words." That sounds a lot like "beware lest anyone take you captive through hollow philosophy and vain deceit." Sounds a lot like that, doesn't it? "Let no one deceive you with empty words." I could say today, let no one in no part of this culture tell you that this doesn't matter and this is old-fashioned stuff that don't matter anymore. Let no one take you captive with those empty words and those empty philosophies. God's word has not changed. Said, no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Of course, a lot of people think of God's wrath as, you made me mad, and now I'm going to get you. A lot of times, God's judgment, his wrath, if you will, his judgment, is to simply step back and let you have what you want. Remove restraint, step back and say, okay, that's what you're going to pursue. You can have what you want. And then as the things naturally begin to unfold that come out of that, don't ask God to come save you from the consequences of the things that you've stepped into. That's a lot of times his judgment, is just to step back, remove his protection, and let things unfold the way they're going to unfold. And we've seen it in this specific area. All of us have seen it, somebody at one time or another. We know how this goes. But he says this, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. You know, the one attitude that says, I don't care what God said or meant or what pleases him. I want to do what pleases me. This is the contrast. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. So this is the thing. When there's a marriage relationship, when we have done things God's way, of course, everybody knows that's part of a marriage relationship, is the physical side of it, but there's nothing that has to be hidden, right? That can be brought into the light. That can be an open thing, and there's no shame, and there's no reproach, because that's the way God meant it. But when we step outside of that, there's this feeling, I need to hide this, I need to cover it, I hope this doesn't come out. You know, there's all these things that come with it that God says, it's not what I meant. It doesn't have to be that way. We're children of the light. We're meant to be the light. And that light is also to be a light to others. Well, how are we going to let that light shine to others when there's something there that's interfering to the point that we've got to hide? And it's a drain on our testimony, our ability to be Christ to others. So that's one thing that God doesn't want for us. And I want to read another one, another passage over in 1 Thessalonians. I feel like this is it's good to point this out. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4 and verse 3. He says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. Well, that word sanctified means set apart, right? So you can say it's God's will that you not be like everybody else. That you not just follow the pattern that everybody else does. It is his desire for you to be set apart for him. And directly connects that to that you should avoid sexual immorality. That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable and not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. You know, people who don't have God, they just follow their natural instincts. It's the course of the world. But God has something more for us than that. And he wants to be able to help us with that. He says, do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. So, you know, when God tells us these things and we've all been guilty at one time or another with things in God's word where he confronts us and we find a way to set it aside, skirt around it.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.